It is good to have you with us in service. Thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. And as I look around the congregation, when the trumpet sounds, I trust the circle will not be broken, but everyone will be ready in that number with God's people. Sixth chapter of Matthew, Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount, and when you come to the ninth verse, very, very familiar scripture, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever." Amen. Amen. Tenth verse. In this prayer, Jesus said, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." David said in Psalm 40, "I delight to do thy will, O Lord." Right to the Hebrews, quoting Jesus, said, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." And for years, people have said, "If I just knew God's will, if I just knew God's will." That's what I want to preach about this morning. God's will. Some things that I know that it's God's will. The Bible lets us know. In the second chapter of Genesis, when God created Adam and Eve, placed them in the garden, He had a primary purpose for making man, and that was for fellowship. That God Almighty, who is omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent, made man that he might fellowship with his creation. And everything was beautiful for a while, Adam and Eve and God. Wonderful fellowship together in the garden. And then the Bible says Adam disobeyed and sin entered into the picture and the wonderful fellowship that they had enjoyed was broken. And this is the part that I want us to understand today. He did not leave it that way. There's good news. That's why Jesus came. Jesus came to this earth to restore the fellowship that was broken. That's one of the main goals, one of the main reasons that He came, that the fellowship could be restored. The Bible says He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to forgive sinners. He came to restore the fellowship that Adam had, that man has not had without the Lord since that time until the Lord came. I'm glad today that He came to restore that fellowship. In order for man to be restored, and keep this in your mind, in order for man to have that fellowship one more time, man has to be changed. Amen. God doesn't have to be changed. Man has fallen, man has sinned, and man had to be made anew and to be made a change. In the course that we sing, number 114, we sing, "Make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like Thee." And really, that's what I want to preach about this morning. That's what Jesus came to do, to make us to be more like Him. Amen. Amen. There's a story in the 8th chapter of Jeremiah. God said to Jeremiah, "I want you to go down to the potter's house. I want you to receive an object lesson. I want you to go into the potter's house and watch as he puts the clay on the wheel and it begins to mold it as it's spinning on the wheel and makes it to a vessel that he likes. And then sometimes at the potter's house, while the potter is molding the clay, it's marred." And the Bible says, as God was speaking to Jeremiah, He said He would take that marred clay vessel, cast it aside, and make anew. And I said this with you this morning, everyone in this congregation, no doubt it sometimes has been marred. We needed the touch of the Master. We needed the Lord to get everything straightened out in our lives. We were marred. This object lesson that God gave to Ezekiel or Jeremiah for the people, the vessel was marred. We have been there and we need to be made anew, and that's God's will in the lives of the people, to be molded in the form of the Almighty God, of the Lord Jesus, said, made in His image. Make us what we ought to be. That's what the course says. That's the sermon for today. What is it that God wants us to be? What is it that God wants of you? What is God's will for every one of us? That's the thought for the sermon this morning. First of all, I'd like to begin by saying God wants everyone to be saved. 19th chapter of Luke, the 10th verse says, "For the Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost." I am glad that the Lord came looking for you and me. Amen. God wants everyone saved. Nothing more in this world that God wants than people to be saved. That's why Jesus left the splendors of heaven. That's why He put aside a deity of His glory in that sense of the word. That's why He came to walk amongst us, amongst sinful man, that you and I might be saved. You and I who are sinners might be saved. Thank God He came to save sinners. Think about it, if you will. We were lost and couldn't find our way back. We were blinded to the things of this world and the things of God, and we were stumbling in darkness, and we needed a light to lighten our path. We were sold into sin's bondage, and we were lost without God, and we needed redemption, and Jesus came to redeem us.
Hallelujah.
Think about it. He paid the price for our redemption by going to the cross.
Amen.
What a price. What a price. He loved me so much, He wanted me saved so much, that He died for me.
Amen.
Paying the price of redemption. We were not only stumbling in the dark and lost in sin, sold into bondage, but we were separated from God. And we needed someone to restore us to that fellowship. That's why Jesus came. In the 3rd chapter of John, everyone here is familiar with the 16th verse. But the 17th verse is important.
Mm-hmm.
This is so important for each of us today. In the 17th verse, the Bible says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." I want to say that one more time. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Jesus didn't come to act as our high priest back then. He didn't come to set up His earthly kingdom. He didn't come to overthrow the Roman powers that had dominion over Israel. He didn't come to reign as king from the throne of David. He'll do that the next time He comes. But the most important thing, and I want you to understand that, He did not come to condemn. He came to save. Let me just digress a moment. Man will condemn you. And as long as you live, the devil will condemn you. He'll bring up things that happened in your life 50 years ago, 30 years ago, 10 years ago. He'll try to bring them up and make you to believe that they're not covered by the blood. But God will never condemn you. The Son of God did not come to condemn, He came to save. He will convict because He loves us. He'll discipline because He loves us. He won't condemn.
Amen.
Keep that in mind. He hasn't come to condemn us. He's come to save us.
Hallelujah.
Number one, what does God want of me? What is God's will for my life? Number one, that I be saved. Everyone here, everyone around the globe. What is God's will for man? For man to be saved. Listen to this. It is not God's will for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everybody, that's God's will. Some people say, "Well, Brother Jones, if I just knew God's will," you know the first part already. It's God's will to save. And I say this humbly, and I go to the second point. I'm so glad that He saved me. I hadn't gone as deep into sin, maybe as some others. I hadn't done some things maybe that others have done, but I've done enough to send my soul to hell forever. And God saved me. He came to me. He came to me. Hallelujah. He came to me. Thank God, thank God. Thank God. Amen. Number one, what is God's will for mankind? Number one, to be saved. And then after we are saved, and this is important, so oftentimes, and this part is left out in the ministry of our day. Let me go back a moment, one more time in the first part, in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Peter, Paul and Silas were in jail in Philippi, and they had the earthquake and all the rest, and I'm not going to go through the story, but they flipped, and jailer came to Paul and said, "What must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Amen. That's God's will.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God, thank God.
Amen.
It's God's will to save. Second part that I mentioned today, in the third chapter of Matthew. Before beginning his ministry, Jesus Christ was baptized by John in the Jordan. He immediately left the waters by the leadership of the Holy Ghost and went out into the wilderness and was tempted of the devil. And then he began his ministry. But listen closely. Before being tempted and before going out into his ministry, he was baptized. Jesus did not need to be baptized because he was a sinner and got saved. Jesus was baptized as an example for us. And water baptism is a testimony to the world, to anybody, everybody, that something's happened right there. I'm not the man that I used to be. I'm saved. I'm talking now, first of all, God's will is for people to be saved. It is not God's will for the unsaved to be baptized.
No, sir.
But it's God's will for every saved person to be baptized.
Amen.
Jesus was baptized as an example for us. And we sing, following the Lord, follow, follow, I will follow Jesus. I make two statements right here. If you follow Jesus very long, he'll lead you right to church. Because he went to church as his custom was on the Sabbath day.
Amen.
If you follow the Lord, when it comes to the Lord's day, you'll be in church if you possibly can be there.
Amen.
Amen. And number two, not only following the Lord to go to the house of God, following the Lord to be baptized.
Yes.
Now, some people might ask the question, can a person go to heaven without being baptized in water? Please understand, you can. The thief on the cross accepted that Jesus died, never came down from the cross, died on the cross. And he went to be with the Lord in paradise that day.
Yes.
But that doesn't make an excuse for everybody.
No.
We haven't been crucified and died the same day we got saved.
Right.
And we are to follow the Lord.
Yes.
And God gave in the book of Matthew, God gave a commandment. He said, go, ye therefore, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. He didn't say, if you want to. He didn't say, if you feel like it.
Amen.
He said, go forth therefore, and all the nations, go forth, talking about Jesus, telling them about Jesus, telling them about the crucifixion and the death and the burial and the resurrection. Tell them about the sacrifice that Jesus paid. Tell them the good news. But most of all, he said, when you go forth and tell them and they get saved, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 got saved, the Bible says, and they baptized them. Let me use an illustration. 10th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. Bible said that Peter was over yonder in Joppa. And there was a man in Caesarea, a Gentile, a centurion. And God spoke to him and said, send to Peter. Send to Simon Peter and he'll come and share with you the words that you need to hear. Cornelius was praying. He wanted something real in his life. And so Cornelius sent people down to Peter. Now I'm not going through the whole story, but when they came, Bible says, Cornelius mentioned about all the household and those that were gathered with him. And we've come to hear what you've got to say, Peter. We've come to hear the Word of God. You know what the world needs to hear today? The Word of God.
Amen.
And while Peter was telling them about Jesus, the Bible said those of Cornelius' household, him a Gentile and Peter a Jew, and Jews didn't even go to the house of the Gentiles, but God said go, and if God says go, it's all right.
Amen.
And while a Jew was ministering to a Gentile, all those Gentiles got saved, and the Bible said they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter said, can anyone deny water that these that have received Christ, even as us, can be baptized? And the same day, they baptized those that had just received the Lord. I say this today, I want to make it plain as I can. There'll be people in heaven that never got baptized in water. I know that. Plenty of people have been saved on the deathbed, and I have even baptized some that got saved on the deathbed. I was unable to take them to the baptistry, and I'm not a Methodist, but they asked me would I sprinkle them, and I did. I did the best they could, and I could. But this is the part I want everyone to understand. It is God's will. And the reason I know it's God's will is because He went before us. He was baptized, not because He needed to be baptized, but for our example. Let me just leave this with you quickly. My wife and I got saved in Idaho. And it happened to be in the month of February. And that preacher, now we were raised in the church, so we knew water baptism was important. So they decided to have a water baptism service outside in the canal in February. In Idaho. That's not Idaho, Florida, or Idaho, Southern California. That's Idaho. Yes, it's cold. And when you're baptized in the canal, you don't have a dressing room to take the clothes off, the wet clothes off, and put on some warmer ones, and everybody live happily ever after. Cold water. We came up out of the... Not only that, we came up out of the water and stood on the banks while they baptized others. And then get in the car and drive home. You know why? Because we believe we ought to be baptized. And I'll leave this with you today. Every believer, it's a testimony. Some people have gotten saved and baptized in water, and because of that, they were put out of the church. They were lost their job. They no longer graduated from high school. Where Raleigh's from in the Philippines. People get saved and they're baptized in water. And that's a testimony they got saved. And many of them go back to school and they get straight A's and now they fail. Why? Because they don't believe in a born-again experience. And a changed life. If you don't go along with the religion of the day, you're not ready. Let me leave it with the day. It's God's will for everybody to be saved. And it's God's will for every believer, to follow the Lord in water baptism. Yes. Yes. Third thing I would like to mention today, and this is important for everyone, it is God's will for every believer to live a holy life. Yes. Yes. A separated life. Yes. Everybody that believes that, say amen.
Amen.
That's God's will. Not just for holiness folks, not just for Pentecostal folks,
nope.
For Baptists, for Methodists, for Presbyterians, for everybody.
That's right.
Everybody that says Christ is Savior, it's God's will that they live a separate life. Sometimes I think that we have the idea that because of this or because of that, that God no longer requires such a thing. In the sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul is writing to believers. He's exhorting them. He's telling them how to live. Now I want to stop right there for a moment. I'll watch my watch. You don't even have to watch yours. He was telling believers how to live. Did you know most of the New Testament tells Christians how to live?
Come on now.
Not just how to get saved, but how to live after you get saved.
That's right.
And he said, concerning those around about. He said, now that you're saved and you're following the Lord and you love God with all of your heart, you can no longer have fellowship with darkness. The reason he says that, because light and darkness can't go together. He said, listen to these words. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. What are you preaching about? In the sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians, what are you talking about? He's saying when you get saved, you are to live a separate life unto God. You'll no longer run with the wrong crowd that you used to run with because you feel uneasy.
Amen.
They don't talk the same language. They don't go to church. They don't pray together. They don't read the Bible. They're living their lives. And you cannot stay with them and have the victory. Separate yourselves, Paul said. Doesn't mean that you can't be friendly. You might have an ungodly boss. You might have somebody what's next to you that is filthy with their language. You can be friendly with them.
That's right.
What he's saying, don't let the language become a part with you.
That's
Be ye separate. Be holy.
That's right.
Live godly. And what I said a while ago, I want to repeat. This is not only for holiness, folks.
No.
It's for every believer.
Every believer, that's right.
Every believer, every believer.
Praise
God. One thing that Paul emphasizes is being separate. And that holds true for every believer of all time. God chose Noah to build the ark because he was just and upright. Do you know what that means? He was separate from the world. Noah did not live like the rest of the people. He was separate from the world. The Bible tells me that God had Abraham to leave Mesopotamia, leave his family, leave his friends, leave his homeland, leave all that behind, and separate himself and follow God. And God would give him a land that would be his and his children's forever and forever. Separate yourself, he said. God called Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the bondage, out of Egypt's bondage, because he wanted them to be holy and to be separated, a separate people. And when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, he said, come out from among them and be ye separate. I want to try to emphasize it one more time, and I'm going to hurry along today. It's God's will for everybody to be saved. Every saved person to be baptized. And God's will for every saved person to live a separated life. You can call it holiness. You can call it righteousness. You can call it Christ-likeness. We sing that chorus, make me what I ought to be. Help me to be more like thee. If you're more like Christ, I'll tell you what you'll do. You'll be separate from the world. A separated people. We are the holy people. We're a chosen generation. We are the saints of the Most High God. And we're separate from the world. Let me leave something quickly. Too often in my generation, people at one time were living a separated life. They saw something on TBN. They saw something on PTL. They saw something somewhere else. And they are doing things that I wouldn't do. God convicted me of that, and I wouldn't do. But so many are doing it today, it must be all right. And some folks have gone right back to what God convicted them of. Let me leave this with you today. Please understand, God doesn't change. If a thing was wrong 30 years ago in the Bible, it's wrong today.
Amen.
Amen. Separate yourselves from the ungodly. Live a holy life. Number one, be saved. Number two, be baptized in water. Number three, live a separate life under the Lord. The further you get away from the God, the closer you'll get to God. The further you'll get away from the world, the closer you will be to God.
Amen.
You can't stay close to the world and close to God at the same time.
No, sir.
John said, love not the world, neither the things that are therein. The man that loves the world does not love God.
Amen.
What is he saying? Live holy.
Yes.
Do you know why young people don't live holy? Because they don't want to be laughed at by other young people.
Come on,
peer pressure.
Come on.
Peer pressure.
Oh, help us, God.
Why don't you go with us? Nothing wrong with this. Nothing wrong with this. If the Bible says something's wrong, it's wrong. Number four, I mentioned three things as God's will: being saved, being baptized in water, and living a separated life. Number four, it is God's will for every believer to be baptized in the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
That's God's will. He said to the disciples on the night before he was crucified, I'm going to go away. I know I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again the third day. Afterwards, I'm going to ascend to the Father. And they were upset. Jesus began to tell them, I want you to understand, it's necessary. It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But if I go away, I will send the Comforter. And he will not only be with you, he will be in you. He will take up his abode in your life, in your heart, amen. And the Bible says in the first chapter of Acts, that the day that Jesus ascended into heaven, first chapter of the book of Acts. He said, behold, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be endued with power from on high, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. What is he saying? You need the power of the Holy Ghost. All of us. All of us. Be saved. Be baptized in water. Live a separate life. Sanctified. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place in one accord. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And cloven tongues like as a fire came and set upon each of them. And they all received the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. That was the day of Pentecost. And because of that, because of what God had done, Peter preached one sermon, 3,000 got saved, joined, but became a part of the church of the living God. They didn't sign a register. They didn't have to shake the preacher's hand. They became a part of the body of Christ. That's the most important thing. It's not the church that you belong to. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for the membership of the church, but that's not so important.
No.
Are you part of the family of God? Saved to the uttermost. Separated from the world. Following the Lord. He said, this is the will of God. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. Four things that I've told you. Don't forget any of them. If you're saved and haven't been baptized, and we want to be baptized, we'll have a baptismal service. And I recommend everybody that is saved that has not been baptized, if you possibly can, to follow the Lord.
Yes.
Some wonderful services in the baptistry. When people, we were baptizing some, a man came here, said right over here, his name was Roger. He got saved. He became a worker in the church. He was handy and he could do a lot of things. We were having a baptismal service and he wasn't planning to be baptized. But while we were having the baptismal service, all of a sudden that man realized, I need to be baptized as well. He came to me and said, Brother Jones, would you baptize me too? I said, Brother Roger, did you bring any extra clothes? He said, no, but I want to be baptized. I wasn't going to turn him down. I got baptized in February.
Amen.
Outside. Roger got baptized, left the baptistry, got in his car and rode home, coming out of the baptistry. Someone said, Brother Jones, wouldn't somebody get a pneumonia? Let me tell you something. I've been preaching all of these years, trying to preach all of these years. I've never heard of one person get pneumonia having been baptized in water.
Yes,
sometimes they've had to break ice to baptize. There was no ice on that canal where we were. But I've heard them have it. Let me use them another illustration. When God the Holy Ghost told Philip to leave Samaria, revival services, leave Samaria and go out there in the wilderness on that highway by himself, go out there, he could have had a tantrum. Man, I'm enjoying this, God. Why leave all of this? Because God had something else. While he was out there, a man came by on his chariot, going back to Africa, back to Ethiopia. A man that was a leader in the queen's court, and he was reading. He'd been to Jerusalem. He was reading the scriptures, and I've lost my train of thought now. When Philip saw him, he said, he got up in the chariot with a man. And he saw the man was reading from the Old Testament scrolls, and he said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said these words, how can I understand unless someone tells me? Unless someone teach me. Some people have such an idea that they don't need teaching. I want everyone to understand, we all need teaching. I definitely need teaching. I love the Bible, I love Bible study, but we all need teaching. Philip got up in the chariot with the man. I don't know what I was told him. I'll tell you one thing, I do believe he told him about being baptized in water.
Yep.
And the Ethiopian eunuch got saved. And as they were going on in the chariot, he said, Philip, sir, there's some water over there.
Amen.
What does him and me to be baptized?
Amen.
Philip had told him about water baptism. Now, I don't know whether that was a muffle. I don't know what it was. But the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to be baptized.
Yes.
He wanted to follow the Lord. And so he went down to be baptized. Listen to this. And when they came up out of the water, Philip didn't get back in the chariot. A long time before John Glenn ever took a trip. Philip took a trip.
Amen.
Holy Ghost just took him right over yonder.
Amen.
And when the Holy Ghost calls us out of here, he's not going to take us over there. You take us over there.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Number one, what's God's will? Everybody be saved. What's God's will? Every saved person to be baptized in water. What's the third part? Every saved person live a separated life. Number four, every saved person be filled with the Holy Ghost. They're known from God as a witness for the kingdom of God. And finally, and I'm going to close, God wants all of His children, those born again, all of those that claim Jesus as their Savior, to stay ready for the coming of the Lord. I've got some scriptures. He's coming. It's declared over and over in the Bible. Matthew 24, Matthew writes, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Mark chapter 13, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is." Luke 12:37, "Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching." Luke 12:40, "For the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not." Peter said he's coming. John said he's coming. Jude said, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints." Paul said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God." Hallelujah. And on the day of Jesus' ascension, the angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into the heavens? This same Jesus that you see go away is coming again in like manner, even as you see him go away." And remember, finally, in the last chapter of the Bible, Jesus himself said, "Behold, I come quickly." He wants you saved. He wants you to follow the Lord in baptism. He wants you to be separated from the world. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and He wants you to keep on walking, keep on going, keep on serving God, keep on until everything's all right. Keep on until the trumpet sounds. And remember, it's not the one that starts the race that is going to get the prize. It's not the one that starts the race that's going to get the crown. It's the Lord that endure until the end. The saints shall be saved. It's God's will for us to live right and keep on living right and keep on living right until the trumpet sounds.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen, amen. Some of you might have gotten lost out along the way. Come on to the piano. I'm going to fire one more time. There's a plenty of things in the New Testament that we should do and some other things we should not do.
Amen.
They are guidelines for every believer.
Yes.
Every believer.
Yes.
But it's God's will for everybody to be saved. He says that in the Bible. It's God's will for everyone to be baptized. He said, "Go forth therefore teaching all nations, baptizing them." That's God's will. It's God's will for every believer to live a separate life. That's God's will. Whatever our background, we've got some that were, my daughter-in-law was raised Catholic. We've got some raised, that was a Jew. We've got some from Judaism. We've got some from different backgrounds. And that's all right. God loves everybody.
Hallelujah.
But everybody has to come the same way. By the blood of Jesus. So thirdly, he wants you to be separated. Number four, he wants you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, because he said, "I'm going away that he might come." Now, I'm not going to be with you like I am now, but he'll be with you. When you go to bed at night and you've got a problem, he'll be right there. When you wake up in the morning and go on the job and everything's not going real well, he'll be right there. He'll never leave us. What do you mean he'll never leave us? His Spirit will be there. Number five, keep on going.
Yes.
Keep on walking.
Yes.
Keep on serving God.
Yes.
Whatever you do, don't lose out. One of the saddest stories, play softly, honey. One of the saddest stories in the Bible we had in Sunday school lesson. A woman came out of bondage, out of sin. Delivered on the way to safety. And got so far and disobeyed God and looked back. You'll never see Lot's wife in heaven. She disobeyed God, sinned, and died. I've known people and you've known people that have started well, ran the race well for a while, and then they looked back and went back. Some of us were backsliders, and I'm glad that God gave me a second chance. You're saved this morning. Whatever you do, keep on going. Keep on going. Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to slow down until I see Him. I'm not going to slow down until I was getting ready to say, shake His hand, hug His neck.
Amen.
He died for me. I'm going to visit my family while my wife is praying, and we're going to pray. My family was not, and I don't know what the right word to use. I don't want to take away from anything. Our family had a way of loving each other that was different from some other families. Some families, every time they see you, they hug you and kiss you. Our family was not huggers and kissers. But we loved each other. I would fight against my brother every day. And if somebody else came against him, I'd fight for him. I don't mean fight, we'd wrestle. We had a good time. How can you have a good time if you and your brother wrestling all the time? Have you ever seen cats and dogs? They love each other. They're at it. What do you say, preacher? I'm saying this morning that whatever, be sure you're saved by the blood. If you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to get baptized. Be separate. Separate from the world. Be filled with the Holy Ghost was God's will, God's desire. And finally, keep on going. Keep on serving God. Honey, let's sing the course that I mentioned. Number 114, make me what I ought to be. Number 114 in the course, but will you find it and stand with me? It's not Bible study, but oftentimes in Bible study we have a quiz. I ask questions. I'm going to ask one now. I'd like for everyone to respond. Do you want God to make you what you ought to be?
Yes.
If you do, raise your hand high to God.